Romans chapter 10. Again, I'll begin in verse 11 and read through verse 17. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. A couple of sermons back, we began to look at what God requires of us to escape His wrath and curse, which is due to us because of our sin. And we saw in that previous sermon that God requires of us faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, and a diligent use of the means of grace that He has provided for us. And so, having looked at what faith in Christ is and what repentance unto life is, we come now tonight to learn about the means of grace and how they relate to our salvation. And the first and a fundamental matter that we must have straight is this first point that we want to make this evening, and that is that God uses means. God uses means. Now, when we talk this way, when we talk about God using this thing called means, we mean by that God does not normally engage with us in an immediate fashion, but rather that He engages with us by way of some mediating agent or mediating thing, for lack of a better word. In other words, He doesn't just come and talk to us face to face. He doesn't just come and talk to us audibly, but rather He talks to us and He engages with us through various agents, through His ordinances, through means. Now, it is true that God has spoken immediately to people in the past, but even then, those occurrences were very, very rare. And that was not the way God normally talked to most people. And frankly, I will make the, and I don't mean it as a harsh assertion, but I want to add tonight that God does not speak this way to you. I don't want to ruin your life, but God does not speak to you audibly. Indeed, it's noted as a remarkable thing that God spoke in that straightforward way to Moses. I have the passage there in front of you in your outline tonight, Exodus 33, 9 through 11. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. That passage is telling us that this was a remarkable occurrence. It's meaning to underscore to us that this is not the ordinary way that God speaks to people. Moses had a unique and an extremely rare privilege that God would speak to him this way. And it wasn't just for Moses. Moses was a particularly special person in the history of the human race and in the history of redemption. And that is why God spoke to him in this special way. You are not that special person. You don't have that same unique place in redemptive history. In fact, God doesn't need to speak to you in that way. Because he speaks to you very effectively in another way. And therefore, the biblical teaching on God talking to us is that God speaks to mankind and he communicates to us in what we call very outward and ordinary ways. If you're filling in the blank, that's one there. He speaks to us in an outward and ordinary way. But this is a hard word because the norm in American Christianity today is to claim that God talks to you like he talked with Moses. And this is even more problematic when we find ourselves in a situation in the American church wherein biblical ignorance is at an all-time high. In other words, people are not listening to what God has clearly and universally and commonly said in his word. In fact, many who claim to hear these special words don't even regularly attend church. But they claim that they have this chummy relationship with God wherein he talks to them like a man talks with his friend, telling them to mundane things like, I want you to buy this car and I want you to go to that restaurant. And it brings me no pleasure. It brings me no pleasure to say it, but I must say that that is not biblical Christianity. God does not tell us in his word that he talks to us that way. God uses means to talk to us. And he uses ordinary and outward means that are intended to communicate the benefits of Christ's redemption to the elect. That is, these means that God uses are particularly public. They are not private. And they are open to everyone. But in making that point and in saying that, I am not meaning to infer that they are not personal. I am not at all making a point tonight that they are not personal words from God to us. Again, to say that they are public, the way that God speaks to us nowadays is very public and accessible to all, is not at all to say that they are, that the way he speaks to us is impersonal. It's not to say that the way God communicates to us isn't especially designed to communicate to you personally. And I want to illustrate what I mean by this and kind of how it works. I've used this illustration before in other contexts, but you know, if it was before daylight savings time, and I'll use my own vehicle, but if I had left my lights on in the back parking lot and someone came in here and said, excuse me, everybody, can I have your attention? Here is now a public word to everybody. Everybody's going to hear this. Excuse me, everybody, can I have your attention? There's a blue Durango in the parking lot. with its lights on. And that message has a very personal application. That the speaker of that message is seeking somebody out. Very individual, very pointedly, because they want to get to that person. And yet, the message is said to everybody. Everybody hears it. But the one that it's intended to, the one that the speaker is actually speaking to, is the one who hears it and says, "That's me." He's talking to everybody, but he's talking to me. And they respond to that message. So this is a very specialized, it's a very personal message. If you're the owner of that car, you respond. And when God speaks by way of His ordinary and outward means, the message is intended to reach us personally and effectively. Although it is normally through a minister and normally with others present. And so, having considered that God uses ordinary and outward means, we want to next zero in on the fact that God uses ordinary and outward means for salvation. For salvation. As our text makes very clear, God uses men as means to communicate His salvation to sinners. How will they hear unless someone preaches? In other words, people normally get saved by someone telling them about Christ. Or they get saved by attending a church where the gospel is preached. The Spirit of God uses that human contact to speak to us, to convict us of our need for a Savior, and to bring us to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Indeed, as our catechism states in the 88th question, and I have that there for you on your outline tonight, what are the outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption? The ordinary and outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of our redemption are His ordinances, especially the Word, sacraments, and prayer, all of which are made effectual to the elect for salvation. Now, I want you to grapple with this question for a moment tonight. The Word, sacraments, and prayer, all of which are made effectual to us for salvation. Does any part of that bother you? I want to note something here that's important if we're going to understand the whole notion of God using means for our salvation. And then next, as we understand what the means that God uses for our salvation, what those means actually are. And something that we have to understand here is that when we talk about salvation, salvation must be understood to be more than one of its parts. In other words, most of the time when we talk about getting saved, or when we talk about salvation, most of the time we are mainly talking about justification. In other words, we're talking about being made legally right with God. We're talking about having our sins forgiven. We're talking about going to heaven when we die. But salvation in the Bible is a much broader category and a much bigger event than merely that one part, which is a glorious part, but that one part that we call justification. Salvation is much more complex than just the aspect of justification. Salvation also includes benefits such as adoption, sanctification, glorification. And therefore, our catechism states here, notice that God makes even the sacraments effectual to the elect for salvation. Now, when it says this, we are not to understand by this that God forgives our sins by baptism, or that He forgives our sins by taking the Lord's Supper. In other words, the confession is not at all putting forth what's called sacerdotalism, a sacramentalism in that sense, but rather it is meaning that God uses the sacraments to build us up and to strengthen our faith, which then affects our growth in grace. The strength of our faith affects our progress in sanctification, which is a vital part of our overall salvation. Since sanctification is a part of our salvation, and the sacraments benefit our growth in sanctification, we can say that God uses them in our lives and makes them effectual for our salvation. And so we see that God uses means. He uses ordinary and outward means for our salvation. And therefore, as we begin to come to a close this evening, I want to briefly list, as a second point, the means God uses. The means God uses. Each of these means gets its own series of questions and further explication as we move on in our catechism. And therefore, we're just going to list them now, intending to deal more fully with each of them in an individual way in the coming weeks. But in a word, the primary means that God uses for our salvation, and we need to understand our salvation comprehensively, the means that God uses for our salvation from start to finish, in other words, our salvation, which comprehends our justification, our adoption, our sanctification, are, number one, the Word. As these, if you look in the catechism answer, you'll get where I'm going here real quick. Again, back in our text, Romans chapter 10, verse 17 makes it absolutely clear. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word. Hearing by the Word of Christ. We could go on and on and on with passages that speak of how the Lord uses His Word and makes it effectual for the salvation of His elect. The second primary means that God uses for our salvation are the sacraments. Jesus says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The sacraments are a sign and seal of the Word of God. They are given to strengthen our faith in the promises of the gospel. They are to return us again and again to find our life in Christ, and thus they are, the Lord makes them effectual to the salvation of the elect. And then finally, prayer. Remember the man whose son was healed by Jesus prayed, "I believe, help my unbelief." Do you hear that? There is a simple prayer being used as a means of grace. There is prayer for an increase of faith, which is essential to our salvation. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot be saved. So here, prayer is being used as a means of grace that the Lord uses and makes effectual for the salvation of the elect. As we conclude tonight, I want to make two very brief points of application and leave you with these things concerning the diligent use of the means tonight. And the first point, and the first thing I want you to think about is what I might call, and maybe this isn't the best way to talk about it, but what I'll call the cyclical relationship We could also say an interdependent relationship, but there's something of a cyclical relationship with the means, and therefore they must all be held together. Think about those three means: the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. We should always come prayerfully to hear the Word preached and read. We must have the Word in order to have the sacraments, because the sacraments are merely the signs and seals of the Word. And our prayer must be instructed and guided by the Word, or else we will pray wrongly. And so they are interdependent. They should actually never be separated or isolated from one another. And therefore, I can say to you, as God's people, that you need, if you want to be saved, you need to be in the Word. You need to attend yourself and partake in the sacraments. And you need to regularly be in prayer. All three of these are absolutely essential to being a Christian. These are the means that God has given for your salvation, so that you might escape the wrath and curse of God. Let me be so bold to say, if these are not three patterns and habits and things in your life that you are attending yourself to, then you are not moving towards heaven. God makes these means, His Word, the sacraments, and prayer, effectual for the salvation of His elect. And you cannot hope for heaven without them. And a final point, which is very closely related, but it takes us back to that primary question from which these have been flowing over the last couple weeks. And that is the interdependency of faith, repentance, and a diligent use of the means, or faith, repentance, and the means. We looked at the interdependency of the Word, sacraments, and prayer, but there's also an interdependency and a relationship between faith, repentance, and the means. And like the other three, faith, repentance, and the means should never be isolated from each other and should always be found together. And let me confront you tonight with something of a very stern warning and speak directly to you. To engage the means of grace without faith and repentance makes them damning ordinances, not saving ordinances. Doing devotions without prayerful diligence, without faith, without repentance, your devotions are damning you. Attending church, participating in the means of grace without faith and repentance, coming to church is condemning you. It is not saving you. The Word is effectual to those who receive it in faith. The sacraments are effectual to those who receive it in faith. If you are just engaging, let's say in your own private Bible reading, you're getting that one chapter read a day, but you're not attending to it with faith and repentance, you're wasting your time. You need to engage God's means with faith, listening for His Word, listening for Him to speak to you by that outward and that ordinary means. And listening in faith, you should regularly be engaged then in repentance unto life. How can you, if you are truly hearing what God is saying to you in His Word, how can you sit there and not make change in your life? How can you not be convicted to turn and run to the Lord, to desire to see that change? We too flippantly come to family worship. We too flippantly come to our devotional reading. We too flippantly come into the worship of God as a congregation. And we go through the motions. We do not come with faith. We do not come with repentance. And those means are not salvific in that posture. Jesus rebuked the religious people of his day, saying, he acknowledged you, they were experts in the word. You search the scriptures daily, but you search them in vain, because in them you think you have eternal life, but they are that which speak of me. The means of grace are not some kind of automatic, mechanistic thing. We always have that clear when it comes to the sacraments, but reading the word is not an automatic, mechanistic thing either. We must attend to the gracious, ordinary, outward means that God has blessed us with, and we attend them with faith and repentance. And there's that cyclical thing again. The word gives us faith. Builds us up in our faith. The sacraments build us up in our faith. But all of these things, to escape God's wrath and curse, he requires faith in Jesus Christ, repentance unto life, and a diligent use of those outward and ordinary means. The word, sacraments, and prayer. A diligent use. My encouragement to you tonight is, begin tonight. Don't just turn away from the word preached and act like nothing was said, that act like God didn't speak. Don't engage in your devotions tomorrow or whenever the next time you come to have devotional time. God wants a devoted life. He wants you to engage him with his word as him speaking to you. And you read it with faith, and you intend, as he puts his finger on here, on matters of your life, to repent and respond to him and turn to him. Let's endeavor to do that. Let's pray now and seek the Lord's strength to engage ourselves in the right way when it comes to the means he's blessed us with. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have made a way that we can escape your wrath and curse. Lord, we thank you that you have brought good news to sinners, calling us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be saved. We thank you for the gift that you grant of repentance, turning us from the world to you. And we thank you for the means of grace that you've provided for us, that you have not left us as orphans. You've given us your Spirit, and you've given us very effectual means that he uses to strengthen us in our faith and to make them effectual to our salvation. Father, we pray that each time your word is opened, we might attend to it and listen to it as your words, because it is. That in faith we would hear them. We would tremble at the threatenings. We would rejoice and believe the promises. And Father, as you convict us, we would turn and we would flee to you in repentance. That there would be a change in our lives. We pray that each time we come on a Lord's Day and we gather with the rest of the saints and we participate in these public means, that we would hear you speaking to us personally and we would listen. You would give us ears to hear, and we would not be mere hearers of your word, but we would be doers also. Father, I plead with you that you might make these outward and ordinary means, your word, the sacraments, and prayer, effectual to the salvation of this congregation. May each of us, by your mercy and grace, escape your wrath and curse that is due to us for our sin. Father, bring us back afresh to you. Humble us before you tonight. Prioritize our lives again. And make us take these things serious, for salvation depends upon it. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.